Welcome to the Ocean Hills Podcast. Our hope is that today's message would help you connect more deeply with God and with others. If you would like more information on what is happening in the Ocean Hills community, check out our website at oceanhills.org or download the Ocean Hills app. If you are encouraged by our ministry and would like to partner with us financially, you can give through your mobile device by texting Ocean Hills to 77977. We hope you enjoy this message.
Well, I'm Jono, if I haven't met you yet, and I'm filling in for John. He started a series last week on service, practicing the way of Jesus, and I just want to take a moment, and can we just appreciate our pastor, John? It's his birthday weekend, and just so thankful for you, and just the way you serve so faithfully our church, and we don't get to appreciate you enough, so we love you, and happy birthday. Yeah. So, well, I'm going to talk today. John, last week, introed the series about just as we begin to follow Jesus, our identity becomes one who serves. We serve with Jesus, and that is part of our calling. And I want to talk today about the sweet life of service, the sweet life of service. I just want to start with a story because I thought it was appropriate. Casey just reminded me of this person, and this is a story that happened 100 years ago. Do you know what happened 100 years ago this summer besides Fiesta starting? Something else, actually. It was the Olympics in 1924 in Paris, France. Was happening right now, actually in July, but now we're in August, and it was happening, and there was a runner who captured the imagination of many people. His name was Eric Liddell. You may have heard of him. He was an amazing Christian man, a missionary. He was a runner, a track runner, and he became really fast. And this movie, one of my favorite movies of all time, best movie picture of in 1982, before a lot of you were born, was The Chariots of Fire. Anybody seen The Chariots of Fire? A few people have. All right, good. So I don't have to go too much into it, but a lot of people haven't seen it. And Eric Liddell is an incredible man who was... in The Chariots of Fire, we see the inner struggle of him wanting to serve God with all his heart, his soul, his mind, his strength, and yet realizing God has made him fast, and he wanted to run, too. And in this really dramatic scene with his sister, who wants him so badly to go to China to be a missionary, he says to her, "I've decided I'm going to China to be a missionary. But I got a lot of running to do first." And it's a really beautiful scene because he says, "God, he made me for a purpose. I believe that for China and for others. But he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. When I run, I feel his pleasure." And so as the story goes, he goes to the Olympics and he is supposed to run the 100 meter, but it happens to be on a Sunday. And he's such a man of conviction, he decides he can't run the 100 meter. And so his team gets together and they figure out he can go into the 400 meter, which is a completely different race, if you know anything about track. So he does. He goes to the 400 meter, and people are so... they're taken by his conviction. Some people are angry. Some people are impressed, and right before the race, he gets a note from an American runner, and I thought it'd be good just to see the scene, see what happens here. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen
it. Coach, there's no problem. He's got something to prove, something personal, something guys like Coach will never understand in a million years.
USA! 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 USA!
Jenny!
It says in the old book, "He that honors me, I will honor." Good luck, Jackson Schultz.
Stop!
So where does the power come from to see the race to its end? From within. I believe God made me for a purpose. But he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure.
Thought we needed to see a little more Olympics. Come on, gold medal, Eric Little. You know, Eric had no idea how God was going to use that race to promote his ministry in China. And it goes on. He did go to China. He was a missionary. He led a lot of people to Christ. He had it was a hard ministry too. But you can sense there that he could feel God's pleasure in his life. And that's really, what does that mean, to feel God's pleasure, to feel someone's pleasure? It's really to experience their joy as your joy, to know that you are bringing them joy with your life, with your friendship, with your love. And it's amazing to think about. We can bring joy to the heart of God, and we can experience his joy for us as his children. He understood that his whole life was really for God's pleasure. It wasn't just the mission field. It was every run, every race, every day. He lived for God's pleasure. And I believe this, as I was thinking about service this week, I just wanted to zoom in on this idea that the sweet life of service with Jesus is about, it's a life of delight. It's a life of joy. It's not a life of duty or drudgery or merit badges. For many of us, we think of serving and we think of maybe the celebration of discipline. We think of that word discipline, like service is a punishment or something. And Jesus invites us into a way of serving, a way of life that is joyful, that is delight. So how do we experience the pleasure of God as we serve him? I want to intro let us into a scripture this week that Josh Hayes brought to me it connected with my heart, and so I started reading through it, and this is the scripture for this morning. It's John 15:11-15. Let me read it for you. Jesus is near the end of his life, and he's having some precious moments with his disciples. He's telling them how they're going to abide in him, how they're going to learn to connect and stay connected with him. And he's talking about his love. And then he gets to this part in John 15. He says this: I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Jesus is saying we are called to joy. We're called to a life of joy with him, and he's going to put that in us, and he's going to help us experience his joy and his pleasure. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Now listen to this. I no longer call you servants, because servants do not know their master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. I wonder what the disciples are thinking in that moment. Jesus, the rabbi, the Messiah, the anointed one, the Lord, says, I no longer call you servants. Now I call you friends. Think about the gravity of that. I don't know if any other first century rabbis did that. I haven't read that anywhere, but it seems like a big statement. The disciples were probably thinking, wait a second, we're the disciples, we're the servants, we're the hired hands, right? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? And Jesus is like, no, I'm calling you friends. You are my friends. I loved when Josh and I were talking about this passage. He said, this is really the hidden secret, I think, of service. Is that Jesus is saying, I want you to work with me, not just for me. And obviously the disciples didn't get that at the moment, because Jesus went to his death and was crucified and they all quit. And then the Holy Spirit came, you know, later, and then they realized, oh, this is what it means. The Spirit is in me, the Spirit of Jesus. We get to do this together. But when Jesus is saying this, he says, as friends, I want to let you in on my Father's business. Isn't that an awesome statement to think that Jesus wants to let us in on what he's doing? Let us in on how the kingdom is coming, to let us in on his heart, on his passions, on what he's doing around us. That's what friends do. They let you in. They let you in on their plans and also on their heartaches and their concerns. And that's what Jesus is calling his disciples here to. It's a life of responsiveness to his voice, to his whisper, to his lead. And that's why I think it's a sweet life of service that we're called to, because it's with him. It's an adventure. We don't know where it's going to take us. We don't get to choose that. But there's a sweetness of serving with Jesus. And do you know the Bible is actually filled with a reminder that life with God is a sweet life? Do you know that? Anybody? Honey is sweet, isn't it? And the Bible's filled. 61 times the Bible talks about honey. And it talks about what life is like with God. What is devotion like with God? It's sweet like honey. His wisdom in the Proverbs is like honey, it says. And in the Promised Land, what was the Promised Land? That was a symbol of our union, of our life with God. It's flowing with milk and honey. I love this out of Psalm 119. We just read this summer. How sweet are your words to my taste. They taste sweeter than honey to my mouth. There's this crazy vision in Ezekiel where Ezekiel eats the word. He eats the scroll. And he's like, he's dreaming. And all of a sudden he realizes it's sweet. It's tasty. It's like honey. Taste and see that the Lord is good. This is a sweet life that God calls us into. It's not a life of religiosity and drudgery and monotony. It's not a life of boring, but it's an adventure. And I think that's what he's getting at in John 15 here, what Jesus is reminding us of, that you're my friends. I'm going to let you in. I'm going to invite you along. We're going to work together. So why do I miss out on this? Why do you miss out on this? Why does sometimes life feels like it's just we're just grinding? It's hard. I don't want to serve. Why?